Blog Talk Radio.
I want to lose. I want to win.
I need professional help.
Bart Benning Weekly.
I win here and I win there. Now what?
Bart Benning Weekly.
I want to win.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Talk about an education.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Wow, winning.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Betting Weekly. I am second half Chaz. We are going to give you as many opinions on as many games as 1 hour can handle. If you want to get involved, please give us a call, 646-929-1298. Again, it's 646-929-1298. As always, our Twitter handle, at SB Weekly. And you can email the show at sportsbettingweekly.com. We have got a full slate. We are going to talk to Billy V. UFC is in New Orleans this week. We are going to talk to Sloppy. He is going to cover some NBA basketball. We are going to talk to Tommy, who's going to call in because today could be history. It is the first chance since 1978, I think, that we are going to have a real Triple Crown winner. So without hesitation, let's not waste any more time, and let's get over to Billy.
All right, we're going to head out right now to the Caliente Sportsbook Hotline. We're going to welcome our UFC expert, Billy V. Billy, how are you this week?
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me. It's been a great week, beautiful weather. Looking forward to some great fights this weekend.
Yep, I appreciate you coming on to talk the New Orleans UFC Fight Night. It's probably never really a bad time in New Orleans, Billy. I don't care what event you're going to see, you know?
Oh, yeah, they're a great crowd down there. They get into it. They know the fighters. They know who to root for. It's going to be a good weekend.
Well, and you know, I tell people, it really, Billy, it's the same thing when you go down to Caliente, you know? From our, you know, we live right in San Diego. It's 20 minutes. We're there. Again, Al's a little different, but I always tell people, you can't let the getting out of Mexico stop you from the going into Mexico because, as you know, in Tijuana, you know, there's parts, of course, any city you don't want to go to. There's parts of San Diego I wouldn't go to at night, you know.
Oh, yeah. But come on down to the sports book.
Yeah, and then the hotel, we're trying to work out a deal, a promo code deal. With the hotel, there's a used to be a Holiday Inn, now it's, you know, Pueblo Amigo Inn, I think. But awesome hotel. Johnny and I used to go there. One time, Johnny, I, and Tommy did the Sunday brunch. And we did it multiple times, but the one time we had the Sunday brunch, it was one of the greatest Sunday brunches that I've ever had. And, I mean, I've been in all the fancy Sunday brunches because the sports book is so tiny in the hotel. There's like five tables. You're never more than 15 feet from the food and it's an all you can. It was an all you can eat and all you can drink. So, you know, that fit right into me and Johnny. Tommy doesn't drink as much, but me and Johnny did okay. Just a good time, you know.
It's a great time.
All right. So we're gonna start with the one of the fights earlier in the night. It's a 9:35 Eastern. You said you wanted to talk about Sean Jordan and Derek Lewis. I'm on UFC.com, as you know, Billy. Ever since you turned me on to this website, I think it's one of the greatest sports betting information websites you can get. It's the Savage versus the Black Beast, and these are big. Boy, wow, these are 260.
Yeah, they're 5 pounds under the limit, and you can bet when they go into the fight, they might even actually weigh a little more. But I've been watching Sean Jordan fight. He's been coming up through the ranks. I don't know if he's had success lately. But I like him in this fight. What's our over-under on this one?
This fight, the odds, it's a coin flip on the fighters. So they're both minus 115, which means, again, you got to bet $115. They'll give you back $215, so you'll win $100. The fight is a three-round fight, but the over-under is pegged halfway through. Now, remember, these are will-go, won't-goes at 1.5, and the big favorite is under they think, people are thinking that this fight's going to end before it's halfway over.
So they're giving us 1.5 rounds?
Yep.
This might go over. Because, you know, not to take anything away from Sean, but he's going to have his hands full with this guy. And I think they're going to, they're both kind of wrestlers, you know, they're not quick strikers, you know, they're not known for that kind of fight. I think there's going to be a lot of grappling, so I think we're going to lean more toward the over.
And what about, do you have an opinion? Because you mentioned something about the Derek Lewis being 12-3 is going to be tough for Sean Jordan to handle.
Yeah, but I've just seen Sean Jordan. I like his style a little better. I mean, even his stats are, I was looking through the stats. The stats look a little better defense-wise. His submission average is .19, where Derek Lewis looks like he hasn't even had a submission yet. So that delegates him to be more of a striker. And Sean Jordan's a great grappler and a great ground and pound guy. So
they are
weight.
Big. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, what's the lowest we've seen? Like 125, right?
Yeah, that's the straw weight.
These guys are monsters compared to that. Yep. Just monsters.
And believe it or not, there's actually fighters out there that are too big to fight in this weight class that I think they should actually have a super heavyweight class.
Right.
I think at some point they just might. But I spoke a couple of weeks ago about Cain Velasquez not being able to find an opponent, and it recently came out that he's actually been injured for a while. Now, he says that his injury came from his last fight. His last fight was a long time ago. So if he got injured in that fight, it's taken him a very long time to recoup. Now, that's smart on his management, but it sucks for all us fans that want to see him fight, and he will be fighting this summer. So
right.
I'm looking very forward to that. And these two are in his weight class, and these are two guys that are going to be in line for the belt after Verdun loses.
Yeah, between them, they're 29-9. That's 75% between them.
Yeah.
All right,
these are two up-and-comers, so it's going to be a great fight.
That's the first, earliest fight. Then we're going to watch for a while. There's going to be 1, 2, 3 fights. We're going to just kind of watch them. We might do some side bets if we're sitting at the sandbar or if we're down in Caliente. But the next fight you really want to focus on is 11:35, Yancey Medeiros and Dustin Poirier.
Mm-hmm. And Poirier's going to take this fight, I think. He's got more, he brings more to the table. He's really improved over the years, and he's got a lot of fights under his belt, 17-4. So, you know, I like him in this fight against Yancey. And what's our over-under on this fight?
Also halfway, 1.5. Now, these guys are 155, but I'm looking at the UFC. And, again, we're talking with Billy V, our UFC expert, on the Caliente Sportsbook Hotline. And, as you know, with Billy, he doesn't normally bet him. He'll bet him, you know, sitting at the bar or sitting in the sportsbook with us, but he doesn't really bet going up to the window. However, at this weight, this is a 155. Is there some type of minimum on the tattoos they have to have? Because these guys are inked big time.
They got the memo, didn't they?
Oh, no doubt about it. But they are they look like little kids compared to those last two guys.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Those guys are almost 100, actually over 100 pounds bigger than these guys.
Yeah. I think we're going to get deep into the fight on this one. I think there's going to be a lot of feeling out. Dustin's had a loss recently, I think. I'm not looking at his record right this second, but he's a great fighter.
Well, you're right there
really
because the
and all that sort of thing.
If you think it's going to go over, you're in the majority. You're paying $165 to win $100. So again, if you go down the Caliente Sportsbook, you go up to the window, you say, "I want the will go," because that's what they're going to ask you. Will go 1.5 on that fight at 11:35 Eastern. You're going to have to put $165 down, and then you're going to only have to wait 30 minutes because then we're going to go right to the next fight, which is the 11th fight. The fight before the main event, and of course that was exciting when they had these last two fights were championship fights that one night. How often does that happen, Bill?
What an amazing night of fights. It was great. Just amazing. Weidman showed how tough he is, how he can just, you know, great ring generalship, all the things they look for in a champion. He has not disappointed. He, you know, he can do it all. He can box, he He can wrestle. He can grapple, ground and pound. He's got great defense. And he's got these really long arms. His reach is just really, it's crazy how his reach is against all the other fighters.
It was a great day of fights.
No
doubt about it.
Thiago Alves. Yeah.
All right, so it'll be after midnight. It'll be after midnight now if you're on the East Coast. It'll be 9:05 here, and it's Rothwell and Matt. Is it Mitrione?
Mitrione. Yeah, Mitrione's
Mitrione.
The next football player.
These are big
Rothwell.
Boys, too.
Cool. Rothwell's a beast. He's like a big zombie, though. He moves very slow. Although in his last fight, he did look like he was a little lighter on his feet than normal. But he's been known to gas early. So if he does that thing we talked about last week, like an adrenaline dump, something happens in his training camp, I don't know. Maybe he, all these guys go to the ring injured. They talk about, it's like kind of the unspoken thing that these guys get hurt in training often, and they go into the ring hurt.
Well, remember, that's what happened in the big boxing match. That big boxing match. Remember the guy, I forget their names, the guy came in and later on they were suing him because he didn't disclose he hurt his shoulder.
Yep. And you always find out about it after the fact. Oh, well, you know, I had a pulled hamstring or, you know, whatever. But this makes
right, so let's look at, the odds on this. Rothwell is the underdog. You're going to get plus 155. For Mitrione, it's minus 190. So you got to lay two for him to win one.
Oh, God.
The over-under, the will-go-won't-go is pegged halfway through the fight, Billy, and it's pegged even at minus 120. So either way you go, you're going to get the same odds.
I think these two are going to just get after it. Mitrione doesn't screw around. He, even though he's ranked number 13 and Ben Rothwell's ranked number 9, I think that's all going to change. Unless Rothwell somehow gets his hands on Matt and gets him up against the fence or on the ground, he doesn't have a chance. Mitrione is just way too fast. He is light on his feet. And for a guy that's 265 pounds, Joe Rogan constantly equates him to like a lightweight or a featherweight even.
Well, I will say that I looked at these guys and then I looked at the guys that you mentioned were 5 pounds under these guys, and those 260 guys, they look bigger and more fat. I don't want to disrespect these guys. They catch me in an alley, they could beat me up with their toe. But these guys don't look fat, and they're 5 pounds more than those guys.
I'm looking at Rothwell, and he looks to be in great shape. He used to have a tire around his belly, and it's gone, and he looks like he's in great shape, but the thing is he's getting up there in age. Ben, you know, I think he's kind of past his prime already, but he's a great fighter. He doesn't give up.
Matt's too quick and it's going to be too quick early.
Yeah. Matt's going to
Well, here's the thing, just so you know,
early.
With these two fighters, 80% of the time, the judges have nothing to do with it.
How about that? Yeah. So that plays right into what we're saying.
It's closer to 90. It's closer to 90%. 9 out of 10 times. These guys have had a lot of fights. Rothwell has got 43 fights. The other guy's got 12 fights. Between the two fights, only 10% of the time has it gone to the judges. So, Billy, that looks like that's a good one. Let's finish up now with the main event, Henderson and Tim Boetsch.
Yeah, actually, they pronounce it Boetsch for some reason.
Boetsch,
yeah,
the barbarian.
Tim Boetsch. Uh-huh. And he is a beast, as well as Dan Henderson. Boetsch has had a lot of wins, and he's had a few losses as well. He's 18-8, you know, not really half and half, but darn near, you know, it's like 60-40, I guess. So he's really improved in the past year. Thing is, he's going up against Dan Henderson. Now, Dan Henderson just got tossed around by our new lightweight champion, Daniel Cormier. I don't know if you saw that fight or not, but
he
tossed Dan around the ring, man. He tossed him like a rag doll. And I don't know. I don't know if Dan has it in him to fight these top-tier fighters anymore.
According to the odds, he doesn't, Billy, because he's plus 167, where it's Boetsch, you said, right? Boetsch?
Yeah, Boetsch. They got him pegged as the winner. And
minus 207,
But see, that's the thing. Boetsch doesn't... He's not like a beast. You know, these are kind of like two lower-tier fighters that are just kind of fighting just to stay in the rankings, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
where do you see the will-go-won't-go on this?
Wolves of if it's 1.5, you definitely take the over. I think it's going to go well into the second and third round. And
well, remember, this is the final, so this is a 5-round fight. And
oh,
they
goodness.
Do. They have it pegged at minus 1.5 rounds.
1.5 rounds?
Yep.
They think it's going to be over early?
They're saying if it's over 1.5, that's what most people think. It's minus 150. If you think it's going to be over quick, under, or will go, won't go. So won't go 1.5, you get $12 for your 10.
Yeah, I don't think these guys are going to finish this fight early. No.
All right, so that's what we're going to do then. And you know the best part about it, Billy, we talked about it. One of the things I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start looking at what we talk about. I'm going to break down the podcast afterwards, and I'm going to start doing some parlays, and I'm going to try to hit a 14 parlay with the information you gave me, because that won't pay 10-1 with these odds, but it'll pay a lot more than an even bet would. So, as always, we appreciate your time. Have a great sports weekend.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime we're dealing with Billy Vickers, I tell people, listen to what he's saying. Go ahead and go to UFC.com while you're listening to the podcast. Make some notes. Golly gee, he just gives us nothing but winners. When we get back, we're going to talk with Mo and a little NHL hockey. All right, looks like we're having some audio problems with our file, so I'm not quite sure how we're going to handle that. But you know what? We've got new interns. The girls are doing their best. So let's see if we can get you know what we'll do? We'll listen to Mo, because Mo did good last week. Let's see if that plays. Nada. All right, so we're going to slide right back into it and going to get over to Colin Mo, and we're going to get him on the line. Hey, Mo.
Yeah.
And now none of the audio files are working. Life with technology, huh?
Oh, you know, it's a fun thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And worst case scenario, I feel bad because and we might have to let you get your second one next week. But here's what happened, okay? I said, what do you think is going to happen in Game 7 with Chicago and Anaheim? You said, you know what, here's the thing. If Anaheim scores first, I think Chicago can handle it. But if Chicago scores first, it could be a long, long day for Anaheim.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah,
it was.
And you know what? Nothing better than you could not be more exactly right now. It's funny because it looks like we're probably not going to have Sloppy's phone call today that we talked about. But with Sloppy, you know, it was a classic better lucky than good, because whereas you nailed it and gave us a winner, Sloppy also gave us a winner, but he had the whole game wrong, but it went overtime. And he had Golden State in the over, and Chicago picked, as we discussed, if you're going to have a five-minute stretch where you're not going to score, you really don't want it to be overtime, Mo.
Right, that's true. That's true. And, you know, like you said, sometimes better to be lucky than good, and it worked out the other night for Sloppy in game one.
And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to go and look at the NHL game two. Now, that's tonight, and it's an early start. It's 7:15.
Yeah.
So why are they starting it so early?
Because it's a Saturday night game on NBC, and so they want to be able to get the game in and then get to the news Saturday Night Live. So they want to make sure you catch to the most of the prime time audience, and you don't want to start it too late to where people are going out, you know, too late. So It's a different animal with Saturday night game. Same with the NBA tomorrow. They're starting an hour earlier.
Yeah, you know me. I'm not a big negative type of guy. I tend to be a positive guy. But obviously, nobody at NBC has watched Saturday Night Live in a few years. Yeah, that I preempt that puppy in a heartbeat. You know.
Oh, sure, of course.
So Now, the series lines really did swing when the Blackhawks won the first game. I mean, it really did because, as you know, it's so much easier to win four games when you've already won one game. So now I've got to win three and you've got to win four. Plus, I've stolen the home ice advantage from you.
That's true, and you've got to come now to Chicago to the Madhouse on Madison and try to steal a game back, which is going to be rough, especially if some of these games trickle over in overtime. We know how good Chicago plays in overtime. You know, in Tampa Bay now, I think they were 7-0 in the playoffs when scoring first, and now they've lost their first game after scoring first. And it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight if Chicago's able to score first, if that changes the way Tampa plays, or if Chicago just hangs around. And that's the thing, you can't let the Blackhawks hang around. Tampa had some good shots in the first period. Corey Crawford just played excellent in goal for Chicago because it should have very well been 3-4-0 after that first period.
Right. No, and the thing about it is when you are looking at a team that you like now, and we talk about this a lot of times with our sixbetsagame.com betting the first half. You talked about it when that first game that Chicago came back off the long layoff. Sometimes you want to see what happens. If you like Tampa Bay, but you weren't sure, you know what? Now, if you like them, you can get them at 2-1. Before, you had to lay 145 to win.
Yeah, you know, and we saw that happen with Game 7 with Chicago and Anaheim. I like Chicago, and I was able to get some great odds on that Chicago in that game. And again, tonight it's going to be interesting to see how Tampa Bay reacts. They've got a young team. Will they come out firing, or will they start to lay down a little bit? They haven't been, so it should be a tight game tonight. I could see a very easily a 3-2 game tonight, 3-2, 4-3.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When it gets to that same thing we had in one of the basketball series, you can't lose two games at home to start a seven-game series.
No, you sure can't. And there should be a Rockets problem, Tampa. You know, as you know, they can't. Blackhawks fans can't wear Blackhawks gear into the arena in Tampa, in the St. Pete Times Forum, whatever the hell they call their building now. So it should be a crazy crowd there tonight, and especially down one game to nothing. I can't imagine how crazy that crowd's going to be tonight in Tampa.
Yeah, and again, when we look at the line for the game, it's the same thing. Tampa Bay, a slight favorite at home, -130. They've pegged that over-under at 5. They're not changing off it. Now, of course, it worked well for the first game. It didn't work too well for those people betting the under in the conference championships. And then Tampa Bay at home, if you think they're going to come back and they're going to win by 2 goals, -1.5 goals will get you +235. So what do you think? Do you foresee any way that this game goes over?
No, I mean, I really am seeing like a 3-2 game. I mean, now Tampa and Chicago both have been known to knock out 5 goals in a game in these playoffs, but I think the goaltending has just been too good so far. Corey Crawford's been great. And the goaltender for Tampa is 6'7". I mean, this guy is gigantic. So I really think it's going to be another low-scoring game. It's max. 3-2 game.
Yeah, and exciting. It's just exciting. I mean, again, because we had Chicago the other night, excuse me, and one of the things we talked about, Mo, is when you get up 1-0 in a hockey game, it's really exciting. And to get up 2-0 and then to get up 3-0, it was just a matter of watching the game because it was going to be very difficult. And then it was 4-0. But then they scored a couple goals that made it 4-2, and we started having dinner. I mentioned I was at a little get-together and with a Chicago fan, and what happened is there was another goal, and one of the guys thought it was Tampa Bay, so it was now 4-3. But he wasn't a real big sports fan.
Yeah, that's the goal that was kicked in by Marian Hossa that wound up that they counted because he didn't do a kicking motion, so it gave Chicago another goal, gave him a little extra.
And then it was funny because the poor guy got it. Because as you know, if you're down 4-0 and then you get to 4-3, you'd be nervous if you've got the four because they've just taken all your momentum away. So I kind of felt bad for that guy because he got a lot of grief at the party.
Yeah, that's usually a time where they pull a goalie. You're right. I mean, when you've given up three goals to let a team get back in a game like that, it's hard if you're the team ahead to continue to be the team ahead. But I think it's a close game, and I really do. Both of these teams have taken teams to seven games, and Chicago has been the only one of these two to sweep a team in the playoffs. So I think it stays close tonight. Again, if Chicago gets up early, it'll be interesting to see how Tampa Bay responds because Anaheim, they kind of tucked their tail between their legs for two and a half more periods, and we'll see what happens if Chicago gets up early on Tampa.
Yeah, and the Blackhawks really are in a no-lose situation. They've already done all you want to do.
Yep, they sure have. And the thing is that if Tampa does get up early, you know, are they starting to think, do they get in their head in the third period? Okay, this is where we fell apart last game. So it'll be interesting to see the psychological games that will be played in the heads of the players in Tampa, whether Chicago gets up first or Tampa gets up first and it's a close game going into the third. Because Chicago's one of those teams, they never die. They hang around and it doesn't matter. They've won games in the final seconds. We saw them when they won the Cup a couple years ago. They scored three goals in a minute and a half to win the Stanley Cup. So Chicago's a team that you can never sleep on.
And as you've mentioned in the past, they've been doing it for a long, long time. They've been around since the beginning of hockey.
Yep, they sure have. And this team has, if they win the Cup this year, they'll won three in the past 5 years, which puts them up there with teams like Detroit and Boston. And, it's a group that's been together for a long time, and they've got that playoff experience, those post-game experience. Tampa Bay is a young team, and, they don't have that experience. But, sometimes being super young, you don't understand the hugeness of the situation, and maybe that doesn't count against them. But I don't know. It's hard to count out Chicago, which they've done it so many years in a row.
Yeah. Do you have a big Chicago following in your neck of the woods? Because you're not far from there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a big Blackhawks following, and a big Red Wings following as well. So you got a lot of Red Wings fans who don't want Chicago to try tie that record for the most Stanley Cups by a U.S. hockey team. And then you've got the ton of Blackhawks fans who are waiting for Chicago to become, which has become here in latter years with baseball, the Giants. Now it could be the Blackhawks, three championships in 5 years now as a dynasty instead of winning back-to-back.
Hey, in terms of your neighborhood there, with the bar, Wrigley Bar and Grill,
mm-hmm.
you give out Cub tickets, correct?
We do.
Do you have any Blackhawk tickets hanging around that you're not using for the game three or four?
I'll have to check into that. You gonna come out and go to the game?
Yeah, check in the little metal tab that they keep behind the bar with the change and see if they got any tickets in there. I don't even care where they are. If they're in the stadium, that place is gonna be rocking.
I don't know if you've ever seen a hockey game in the United Center when the Blackhawks. It's absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. And a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then the other aspect of it is if, golly gee, Tampa Bay, lays an egg tonight and they go home 2-0, all of a sudden you got a chance of seeing a sweep. You got a chance of having people that sold their early tickets regretting it.
But imagine how much more that ticket's worth, though, if Chicago wins tonight. There's sometimes that it's hard to, I mean, the experience is cool, but there's sometimes when you get an astronomical amount offered to you for a ticket like that, it's hard to say no. I mean, I got a buddy who just has tickets for the Rolling Stones on the 4th of July at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's been looking forward to it since they announced it, since he got the ticket. He wanted to see the Stones. He was so excited. Sometimes you just can't say no, and that ticket at Chicago wins tonight, that ticket for game three is going to be worth a ton of money.
Yeah, well, you saw that right there, the Golden State guy. When he got his original season tickets, they were $10.
Yep.
And he sold. I guess he paid for his whole season by selling his ticket behind the bench for game one.
And that's unreal. But you know what? Sometimes the experience is worth it. I've got to see some pretty cool closeout games in my lifetime, and got to see a Super Bowl, watch my team win a Super Bowl. It's a pretty cool experience. Pretty cool experience.
Well, the other aspect of it, too, is, you know, if you'd get $5,000 a pop for a couple tickets, you could buy a lot of CDs.
Yeah. You can buy a lot of things for
yeah,
that.
No,
I'll glad to watch it home on TV and just lay in my money.
Yeah. So what's on the agenda for this coming week with the BS Sports Show?
Well, I mean, like every week, we try to stay on the air. I've been trying to convince Billy since last night to make the transition, like Bruce Jenner did. I think it would help our ratings. But on Monday, we announced the new BS Sports Show girl. She's a knockout, and she will be attending all of our events now, and you'll see her popping up on our website. She's doing a photo shoot with some of the new merchandise. This girl is dynamite, and she'll be at the Wrigley Field with us on Monday. We'll be introducing her to the world.
How'd you meet her?
Well, I didn't tuck any dollar bills, if that's what you're asking. No, she's a girl who's a model that's done some work for Harley. And a young, nice, sweet girl, and you know, things just kind of went from there.
There you go. There you go. All right, Mo, as always, we appreciate. We know you got a busy sports weekend. We're real excited. Now, remember, later today, we're going to be sending out some tweets for the Belmont Pick 4 and for our BS Sports Show listeners. We've done pretty well with them. We've won some money for them recently. We're looking to continue. So in advance, we appreciate you doing those retweets for us.
Stop being so modest. You guys have been killing it lately, and I would hope that some of our listeners start sending us a cut. That's what I would hope.
Yeah, you know what? Or at least come in and buy a couple of the wings. You know, they got great wings at that Wrigley Bar.
That's what I'm saying. It's our pleasure, man, and you've been killing it, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, we'll talk again later today when I'm doing some of that action from the daily racing form. Thanks again, Mo.
Sounds great.
All right, again, that was Mo covering NHL, and he nailed it last week. Unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties, so I'm not able to play the clip, but he basically said, if Anaheim scores first in Game 7, it was not Anaheim in Game 7. Yeah, it was Anaheim because they're playing Tampa Bay. If Anaheim scores first in Game 7, I think Chicago will be okay. But if Chicago scores first, it could be a problem. And if Chicago scores more than one, it's going to be a long night for Anaheim. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it just literally was one of – and we've seen this on Sports Betting Weekly in the last, I don't know, month, 5 weeks. Sloppy had a great run at the end of the NFL season, being a Nostradamus type. But it was just incredible to watch the game knowing what Mo said. And I was so excited because we had his clip all ready to go, but for some reason they're not working, so we're not going to lose any sleep over it. We're going to start talking some NBA right now because, again, Mo talked about it with us when we discussed the prognostication of the sloppy, when he said he felt that Golden State was going to come out fast, and he was wrong. And he felt that Cleveland was going to be able to play with them, and he was wrong. And he said that he was going to take Golden State given 5.5 and over 202.5, and he hit a two-teamer. It was the luckiest win you could have. But anytime you've got the over and you're betting sports and it's tight and you can get overtime or extra innings in most sports, hockey's probably one of the ones that's a little different because of the sudden death nature. But again, if it's 2-2 and you've got the over and the over's 5 and they go into overtime tonight, you can't lose. You're going to get a push. And that is a great situation to be in. So we're expecting to hear from Tommy here in the next few minutes. He's going to call in. We're going to be talking some Belmont Stakes. As you know, American Pharoah is giving himself a shot to be in the record books. It really will be history-making. It was 1978 when two horses matched up, Aladar and Affirm, and they ran every single race to the wire, heads apart, noses apart in one of the races. It was just really exciting. Last year, California Chrome went into this race with a chance to be the Triple Crown winner. Unfortunately, got a little injured. And I remember being at the bar. We were at the casino, and I think if I remember correctly, the volume wasn't on, Tommy, but the owner was pissing and moaning, and you can tell he was pissing and moaning by his nonverbals, right?
Sour freaking grapes. I've never seen a case of sour grapes that bad. I mean, that guy literally, he made an ass of himself is what he did.
Yeah. So we're talking with Tommy, who has been helping us throughout our sports betting weekly history. But he really does have a soft spot in his heart for the ponies. Why is that, Tommy?
I just grew up about 10 minutes from the Meadowlands in New Jersey, and I started going to the track when I was 14 years old, and I've always loved it. And the Kentucky Derby has always been, like, besides the Super Bowl, my favorite, sporting event.
Yeah, it's we talked about it on the BS Sports Show with Mo and Billy Elvis last night. They're on the Yahoo Sports Network, and we were talking about the decline of horse racing. And what I mentioned to him, you got to understand, because they're not really horse racing fans. Horse racing is trying to do something that no other sport does, and that's be year-round. You don't have year-round NBA. You don't have year-round Major League Baseball, even though you got Major League Baseball's way long. You don't have year-round football, even though I would imagine most football fans would want year-round football. But, these guys get beat up pretty good in the 16 games that they play. And when you look at today's card, Tommy, at the Belmont, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money.
Yes, there is. There's five or six real big races.
Two races after the Belmont are $96,000 races. And at probably 95% of the tracks in the country, that would be the feature race.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Except for maybe Santa Anita, they usually have a $100,000 race every weekend. But
right.
Yeah, it's they get some big races for the classics. They really do.
All right. So for our listeners out there who are more traditional sports betting fans, so they're betting games. They might dribble out into a UFC. They might bet a big fight, but normally they're going to stick with the major sports, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, those type of bettors. What's the first thing you would give them, the first bit of advice, if they're going to go today with some friends to wherever they can bet legally? Because with horse racing, it's a lot easier to bet legally. You can bet legally from your couch in California sports horse betting. What's the first piece of advice you're going to give them?
Look for value. That's what I'd say. I'd say look for value. It's really hard for me, even though American Pharoah is the best horse in the race, it's really hard for me to try, because I like to win money. That's what it's all about when it comes to gambling. It's winning money. And it's hard to win money when the horse is 3 to 5 and probably going to go off at 2 to 5. You got to look for a horse that's going to beat him. And there's a couple out there that I think have a big chance to beat them. And you also, you want to look at history. Horses just don't win the Triple Crown. They just don't do it. They haven't done it since I was 12 years old. It was the last time it happened. And I turned 49 a couple weeks ago. It just doesn't happen. You can bet with history on this one. And the age horse Materiality, I have a soft spot for that horse because his dad was a Fleet Alex, who's actually owned by a friend of mine. And he won the Preakness and the Belmont. And he's the last horse to win the Belmont that ran in all three, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And he came in sixth in the Derby, had a terrible trip. And he's got a big chance to win that race. Big chance.
Yeah, normally, as you know, and that was the main reason that the California Chrome owner was – so peeved is that they don't run in these first two races and they wait for the Belmont. Well, the bottom line is, remember, May 2nd was the Kentucky Derby, right?
Yes.
It's June 6th. That's barely a month. There's no way a quality horse is going to run two races in a month. They're not going to come back sometimes for 6 to 8 weeks.
No, it's not like that anymore. It's not like that anymore. They just don't – only – the only time you see a horse running in all three is if they won the first two.
Exactly.
And that's just how it works nowadays. It's just like, you know, pitchers don't pitch complete games anymore. But in the 70s, they did it 25 times a year, you know? It's just
no,
it's,
you couldn't.
You know,
in the old days, you couldn't get a pitcher to come off the mound. They would have words with the manager.
Yeah, and Goose Gossage was a closer, and he would close the game, but he pitched three innings every night.
Yep.
You know, he's not just coming in to get three outs with the team up by three runs. You know, it's totally different now. Now they treat the horses like professional athletes, and you know, except for this 7 weeks or whatever it is, you know. They really baby these horses, and you can't blame them because, I mean, a horse like American Pharoah, I mean, they can sell that horse for stud for like $50 million. I mean, if it wins a Triple Crown today, it might not ever race again.
I told Mo, I said that they said so. If he wins, is he going to race again? I said if he was my horse and he won, he'd be retired Monday. I'd give him Sunday to be considered he's still working.
Yeah. There's too much money to be made in the breeding fees. I mean, a Fleet Alex, that was 10 years ago. They sold that horse for $20 million to Japanese interest. $20 million, and it didn't even win the Derby.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's I'm really looking forward to it. I want to see a Triple Crown. It wouldn't break my heart. I'm definitely going to have American Pharoah on my trifectas, you know, because you can't leave them off. You know, you can't leave off the best horse in the last 5 years.
Right. Let's talk about that. So, technically, the races have already started because the probable post for the first race was 8:35 our time, so it's already off. Now, if you're already there, there are 13 races in front of you today. Now there's 12. That's an awful lot of action. And you know, we always give you credit, Tommy. You can't bet every game. You can't bet every race. So if you're on your way to Belmont or your off-track racing facility or a casino that has a sports book and you're looking at today's card, you know, it's very difficult to sit around and wait until 6:50 Eastern time to make a bet. So you're probably going to bet some of these early races. And a lot of people are going to the Belmont because of the fact that there's a chance at a Triple Crown. They don't know anything. They don't know these jockeys. They don't need these horses. They don't know anything. Let's give them over the next few minutes. Let's give them some basics that they could look for, because I'm looking at one of these races, and I'm going to look at the third race. It starts at 12:39 Eastern time, and there's six horses in the race. They've got a horse name. They've got a jockey. They got a weight. They got a morning line. It's a 7-furlong, 3-year-old. It's the W. Stevens Grade 2. So Grade 2 means something. Then the purse's $500,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. It is, and there's a 4-5 favorite in there, a Todd Fletcher horse, Competitive Edge. And he looks to be much the best, but, you know, like I just don't like betting 4-5s, but I will, you know, I will, I'm probably not going to bet this race, to be honest with you, but I will, on a 4-5, play like a $10 trifecta key, which would put, you know, Competitive Edge, the number 3, on top of two other horses. You know, spend, you know, $20 to, you know, hit the trifecta 5 times, you know, because that's the only way you're going to make money. There's only 6 horses in the race. So, I mean, if it comes in chalk, 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 the trifecta is only going to pay $12.
Right.
You know, so in order to get, you know, 3-1, 4-1 on your money, you have to, you have to bet large.
So there's really two ways, is what you're saying, that you can look at it, because this race is a perfect example of what you have today. You have an incredible amount of money, so you have incredible horses. It's that simple. And when they talk about horse racing being in the dumps, it's, you know, Wednesday afternoon at Mountaineer, where if you hit a big trifecta, you could buy the horse that won the race.
Exactly.
So in terms of the rest of this card, you're going to see that a lot. You're going to see horses that, if you're reading the race in form, or if you're just looking at the program, or you're looking at what the person that is at that track who is designed to give out the odds tells you, the lower the odds, of course, the better chance that they're going to win that race. But what happens really is you have to make a decision. Are you going to try to hope that horse loses, or are you going to minimize your bets and bet more money on the bigger favorites?
I would always, you know, try to bet small to win big. I mean, that's what I've been doing my entire gambling life, is betting small to win big. Now, when it comes to horse racing, I always like to have like a $50 or $100 win bet as well on a horse that's got a chance to win. Take the Derby, for example. I liked Materiality again in the Derby, but I also knew that American Pharoah was the best horse in the race, and at 5-2, I was never going to get 5-2 on him again. So it would be ignorant of me not to have made a win bet, which I did. Obviously, you were with me. You know, I had a win bet, a big win bet on Pharoah in the Derby, and we hit the trifecta. You know, but it's just pick your poison, basically. You know, I like to bet small. I like to play, you know, $12 trifectas, you know, or a $24 four horse trifecta box, and hope that, you know, the fourth place horse wins, and that's just the way, you know, that's just the way I go about it. That's just me. Other people can, you know, obviously it's your money. You play the way you want to play it.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, the best thing about horse racing is it doesn't matter what happens on paper, because anything can happen, especially when you get those larger fields. And that's what the Kentucky Derby is every year. But another beautiful thing about all those big purses today is that they're bringing out horses. So when you get to the pick four, and that's what we're doing, Tommy, for Sports Betting Weekly this Saturday edition, we're doing the All Stakes Pick Four. It's four races. It's the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's the Just the Game at $700,000. The Met Mile, $12,500, so it's $1.25 million. Then we've got the Manhattan, which is $1 million, and we're going to finish with the Belmont, and it's $1.5 million. So you're talking four races over $4 million. It really is. Only other day you're going to see this is one of the Breeders' Cup days.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And that's why and you'll see big field most of the time. And the bigger the field is, the better your odds are of cashing a decent-sized ticket.
Because that's when your 30-to-1s can come in for third, you know, and make a nice trifecta for you.
Right. They close out of the blue, and they pick up a check for themselves, but they get into the numbers. And that's the other aspect of it. Not only is that a possibility, but the more horses, the more chances for something to go wrong with that 3-to-5 favorite. And that's what we saw last year.
That's right. You know, it's and, you know, it's just that's a tough road to hoe. You know, it really is. It's a tough road to hoe. That's a mile and a half is it's a long way. They'll never run that far again. You know, the longest they'll ever go is a mile and a quarter the rest of their careers. And it's tough. And these horses are 3 years old, you know. Every horse has the same birthday, January 1st. Now, some horses are born earlier and actually Pharoah is the oldest horse in the race. and the biggest horse in the race. It's born earlier. It's like 2 months earlier than any of the other horses. And, you know, that's actually something you can look at, because in horse, you know, racing terms, you know, 2 months is a long time.
You know? Especially when you're only 3 years old, because percentage-wise, you know, it's no
exactly.
different when, it's no different when you look out on a Little League field, or when you look out on a Pop Warner field, and there's just some kids that are just bigger and bigger and bigger, you know.
That's true.
So yeah, when we look at the races, what we're trying to do is give ourselves an opportunity to win, but we're also don't want to eliminate a chance to win big, and that's where the boxing comes in. So give us a quick breakdown of what you talked about with some of your trifecta, straight trifectas versus boxing.
Well, I never play a straight trifecta. You know, the only time I would ever play a straight trifecta is if I had $2 left on my voucher and I just want to try a few long shots. You know, I only box because horse racing is tough. It really is. I mean, the favorite only wins one-third of the time. And so there's no reason not to ever box away. You know, playing straight trifectas, I can tell them by hand, one hand, the amount of times I've done that in the last 10 years, played a straight trifecta. I'm more like a four-horse box. I like to throw the favorite in there. I like to get the second choice in there. I like to get a horse that's over 10-1 in there, and then another horse that I think has a chance to win the race, and whatever his odds may be between, you know, in this case, you know, I really like a four-horse box, and I'm talking about the Belmont here, of the number two, Tale of the Verve, number five, American Pharaoh, number six, Frosted, fourth in the Derby, and Materiality, who's actually my pick to win. That's going to be where my win bet goes. Materiality still has the highest buyer in this highest buyer speed figure in this race from his Florida Derby win. And he's only run one bad race, and he had a lot of trouble, and that was the Derby. He's only lost one. So I'm going to give him another chance.
So tell us a little more about that buyer speed figure, because that's something that I don't remember from being a kid betting the horses.
Well, there's a gentleman named Andy Beyer who came up with the speed figure. And basically, you can assign a speed figure to every single horse in every single race. And I'm not sure how the mathematics come into play, but the higher the speed figure, the better the horse. For instance, let me see American Pharaoh's. Actually, I'm not going to be able to bring that up. Do you have American Pharaoh's? Do you have the form in front of you?
I do have the form in front of me.
Okay. What was American Pharaoh's buyer in the Preakness?
In the Preakness, which was the last race, it says 82-17.
All right, that's not the buyer.
Oh, the 102.
Well, let's see, 102. Materiality had a 109 speed figure in the Florida Derby against some quality horses.
And, 110, it says here. It says 110.
110, yeah. Yeah. And I knew it was up there. And it's still much the best of any of the horses that are running in this race. Plus the breeding. I mean, you know with the breeding that Materiality is going to get the distance because his father got the distance and won that race.
Right. No, again, if your dad wins, the legacy is right there. And we talked about that. There was a Derby horse this year whose dad had won the Derby, I think, right?
What's
I don't
that
remember
now?
The name.
So when you're looking at the fact that Materiality did not race in the Preakness, that's got to be an advantage.
Absolutely, he's a rested horse. He hasn't run since the 2nd of May. He's got 6 weeks off, and American Pharaoh's got. I'm looking now. He's got a 103 average class figure, and which gives them an edge. I think it's a 3-horse race between Farrell, Frosted, and Materiality, and that's where my money's going to go. I'm going to be doing a lot of boxes with those 3 horses, but I'm also going to be throwing in, I'm going to do it all for third, put every single horse on a ticket, for $1. Then wacky happens, and one of these 50-to-1s comes in, the longest shot right now is Fermento, who I don't see doing anything. I don't even know why the horse is in the race, but he's 30-to-1. But Keen Ice is a horse it's a horse whose father won the race too, Curlin. And he's 20-to-1. And that's a horse that you can actually throw some dough on, because he's going to be right there. He's going to be right there stalking. That's what he does. He's a stalker. And stalkers tend to win the Belmont, unless you're Secretariat and you can just blow everybody away, just because you feel like it.
I mean, you mentioned Fermento, and the one thing that jumps out at me is that, if you got a horse that was 70-to-1 in the Derby, did nothing, and is coming back in the Belmont, and he's right next to my favorite, I would be worried that he was going to knock into the five and cause him some problems.
And that's happened before. It happened to Bob Baffert a couple years ago with what horse was that? The horse that won one, I don't want to, take up time thinking of that.
But
the horse went down to his knees at the break, and he was over.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Yep. It's tough. There's anything can happen, and that's what we've seen. And, again, I keep going back to last year because the horse got hit in the beginning of the race, and he ran a mile and a half bleeding. And ran a mile and a half, like you said, after running 3 times in a month is hard enough. Bleeding the whole time can't be a good day.
Yeah. And horses are athletes. They are absolutely athletes, and they baby them more than some athletes can baby. LeBron James doesn't have anybody combing his hair every day.
Exactly. However, I would imagine with some of those NFL players, they do have people putting bear in their food.
Yeah, that's true. You got a point there.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the pick four, and I'm just going to go down, and I'm going to talk about exactly what Tommy has talked about, because there are a lot of horses in this race, and any year when we're dealing with the Kentucky Derby, trying to break it down and throw out horses is hard to do, and you just did it with the Belmont. You mentioned that there are some horses in there that they have an outside shot because you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And so when we look at this pick four, and what we're going to do is we're going to we promised the listeners to Mo's show, the BS Sports Show, that we would give them some winners today. And as we gave them the Belmont last year, we gave them the Grammys, we gave them the Indy 500. We did pretty good Derby Day with them, I think. Would you say, Tommy, we did okay Derby Day?
Yep.
And so we're going to do that, and we're going to look at the 8th race, the 9th race, the 10th race, and the 11th race. We're going to do that on Twitter. And what I'll do, Tommy, is I'll ask you when you see him if you can retweet them out to people today. You and I are going to be there. We're going to be making some money. And you know what? I'm a big believer in giving, so we're going to try to help some other people make money too. And we, as always, Tommy, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, buddy. Cash them, don't trash them.
Okay. And Tommy, I've been with him. He's not afraid to bet big, but guess what? When he does win, he wins big too. So one last note. I want to make sure that we get to Sloppy because we did not have the audio file. But what he said when we talked yesterday was he said last week he thought Cleveland could steal a game. And they should have, but they didn't. They didn't even cover. He says he still likes Cleveland. Though he liked Golden State in game one, he says 7 points is too many. This team is used to playing without Irving. They're going to do okay. and he also thought that they would score some more points than they did. So if you were wondering what to do tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern, Sloppy says take the points, bet the over. I'm second half Chaz. Always be cashing.